This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon and Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
No, he's on the other team now. We're focused on, you know, what we have to do tonight, but, I expect a few extra bumps out there for him for sure. Yeah, I mean, he means nothing to me now. No, outside the rink, I'm sure we'll keep in touch, but, tonight means nothing for sure.
Friends off for the Calgary Flames as they welcome in Noah Hanifin and the Vegas Golden Knights Thursday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. No worrying about their former teammate. They've got to worry about snapping a three-game losing streak. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon and Julian McKenzie along with you on this Thursday in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Downtown Studios. What up, J-Mac?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's a game day. We got lots to talk about for the Calgary Flames. We mentioned the return of Noah Hanifin back to Calgary. Since his departure to the Vegas Golden Knights, he spoke to the media earlier. We'll hear from Noah Hanifin ahead of his return to the Dome coming up in just moments. Of course, take a look at tonight's lines and D pairings from head coach Ryan Huska. He looks to change things up and perhaps find a winning formula for his group. Check in on the opposition. Ken Belk is going to join us from Sinbin Vegas. They look poised for another Stanley Cup run. We'll ask Ken about that massive trade that saw Tomas Hertl head to the Vegas Golden Knights at trade deadline as well. And Thursdays, of course, me to chat with our pal Adnan Virk from MLB Network and the Cinephile podcast. He's been touring around different spring training destinations, bumping shoulders with all the stars in baseball. We'll have to see what Adnan's got up his sleeve for us this week.
What a life.
What a life indeed. Our outstanding producers on this Thursday, Connor and Shan, along with us. Again, in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Downtown Studios. Worried about radon? They install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. To find out more, visit dlbasementsystems.com for an estimate. Fan feedback line open to you at 960-960. We'd love to hear from you on this Thursday game day. Yes, the Flames and the Golden Knights. 6 o'clock, Flames warm up with Pat Steinberg. 7 o'clock, puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. And Julian, lots to talk about.
Especially when it comes to the Flames, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
And Noah Hanifin coming back. But hey, you should probably think about Brayden Pahal and Daniil Miromanov, too. It's their first game against their former team.
That's another way, yes.
It's a storyline that's being completely missed in all of this.
It absolutely is their first chance to prove their former team wrong. Can tell you lines and D pairings looked like this at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome earlier this morning. Kadri on a centering a line with Huberto and Pospisil. Mangiapane, Backlund, Coleman remained the same. Hunt with Sharon Govich and Coronado. Pelche, Rooney, Dewar. On the defensive side of things, Shillington with Anderson. Uyghur with Miromanov. Ochocek with Pahal, and your starting goaltender, Dustin Wolf. How about that?
It's just wild to me, considering that earlier this week, we were prepared for Jacob Markstrom to be the starter, and then one little tweak in practice, and all of a sudden, Dustin Wolf gets called up, and now he gets another start. I'm trying to think of what's the last time. I know it was against that San Jose Sharks team where he had that kind of a tough loss, but I'm trying to count how many days in between. But that's just what it's been for Dustin Wolf this year. Is whenever one of those two main goalies go down, he is able to step up and just try to acclimatize to playing at the NHL level, just being around those guys. I'm intrigued with that story, but obviously the Noah Hanifin thing. The fact that it's so soon, too, like we're just getting through the trade deadline talk and just in a quick turnaround, he ends up becoming a Vegas Golden Knight, and he ends up coming to play against the Calgary Flames just about a week since he's been traded. And it was really interesting to hear from him today. He spoke after practice and just tried to, you know, turn the page on everything. He did thank the city of Calgary and the fans. He acknowledged that he grew up. But, man, just the fact that he gets to be on that stacked Vegas team with all the defenders that they have. I was talking with the radio play-by-play guy, Dan Duva, about this. I think Hanifin is among the 13 different defensemen this Vegas group has put together this season. They're stacked from top to bottom. You look at their forward core, but it's the defense that still scares. And the fact that they can plug in a guy like Noah Hannifin in their lineup, that's, I know they're in a wild card spot right now. I don't want to face them if I'm a Western Conference team in the playoffs.
No, probably not. Let's start with Noah Hannifin, and let's dive into that, because you're right. It is the return of Noah Hannifin tonight, and it's interesting. With all the trades that the Flames have made, we've obviously seen Nikita Zadorov, you know, but we won't see Elias Lindholm back in Calgary this season. The Canucks don't play in Calgary again. Same with Dallas, so we won't see Chris Tanev back this season, but very quickly we'll see Noah Hannifin, and there was a lot of discourse around Noah's departure.
Mm-hmm.
Sportsnet colleague Eric Francis had a one-on-one with Noah, who wanted to clear the air, at least from his perspective, on how he felt the process went, and he maintains that they weren't holding the Flames hostage in any way, shape, or form. And I would, you know, suggest that that's, as always, one part of a story that has many layers to it, and always will have many layers to it. And, you know, first of all, I wouldn't have looked at a guy anyways to have come down in those situations and said, yeah, you know what, yeah, we were actually really particular on where we wanted to go, and we were like, that's just doesn't serve Noah any good to go out and do that anyways, as he's still a pending UFA and does not, as of right now, Julian, have a contract with the Vegas Golden Knights next year.
Yeah, there's a possibility he could re-sign with them, but it hasn't happened yet, right? You have to see how it goes.
Exactly. So it doesn't do him any good to come out and say, yeah, I really wanted to be in Tampa or with the Panthers, and I kind of wound up here, and I'm going to take it and see. So it doesn't do him any good to go out and say what the process, you know, how it really might have gone. And so I respect that, and it's just going to be interesting, because I do think there's a sentiment to fans. I don't know about you. I expect him to be booed tonight. That's my guess with Flames fans and how everything has sort of gone with it. But I'm curious on the text line at 960-960, if you're watching at home, if you're going to the game tonight, how you feel about Noah Hannifin. Do you have the same expectation, Julian? I think he's going to get booed, but
I think he's going to get booed, and I feel like a section of the fans, it'll be fueled because of how the trade went down. I don't think it'll get to where certain guys are at, like an Adam Fox or a Drew Doughty, for whatever reason, get booed. I think there are fans who still appreciate what Noah was able to provide for this team, being part of that backbone on defense for the last how many years. And as a player, was really young when he arrived on the scene here, and he grew into the defenseman that he's revered as right now, who can plug himself into a contending team's top four and provide stability both ways. But yeah, I mean, it's fans' right to boo if they want, and I wouldn't necessarily blame them for doing so. But at the same time, yeah, like, it's really, I guess if it's more his agent than him in terms of dictating where he wanted to go. And by all accounts with this, it seems like Vegas really came in at the last second. Like, even talking to Bruce Cassidy earlier today, the head coach of the Golden Knights, he acknowledged, like, you know, that was not a player that was on his own personal radar. It's not to say that it wasn't on management's radar, but this wasn't even something that the head coach was seeing coming, right? Like, that's how this process kind of went about. Like, yeah, like, you could say you want to go to Tampa or whatever, but at the end of the day, you get dealt where you're dealt. And but for Noah Hannifin to end up there with Vegas, it seems like all the guys in there are liking him and they're helping him get adjusted. Having a guy like Jack Eichel in that locker room helps too. But for Calgary, I think a lot of that discourse stems around how things may have been handled, and also the return too. I get it. Like, the first round pick, you got a first round pick, but it's going to be in 2026 now. I still think this team should have gotten a prospect out of that trade. And maybe Craig Conroy, that was the best deal he could get. And Daniil Mirimanov looked okay as a Flame so far. Ryan Huska sang his praises earlier today. But I wonder, for a player who was supposed to be the top asset at the deadline, if this team had come away with a 2025 first or some kind of prospect somewhere, do we look at that deal differently? But I think that's just splitting hairs at this point.
Let's hear from Noah Hannifin. His return to Calgary Thursday at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. He spoke to the media for the first time since coming back following morning skate at the Dome.
Obviously a quick turnaround for a return, so just curious if you could describe the feeling just walking in the rink as a visitor this soon after the trade.
Yeah, it's a unique feeling for sure. Obviously, being here and playing here last week with the team I was a part of for 6 years, it's it's a unique situation, but you know, I'm excited just to come in here and play this album. I've always had a lot of fun playing here in my past, so looking forward to tonight.
Noah, 6 years, what did it mean, you know, this fan base, the relationship you had with them, the city? I know it was one that was close to your heart.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, I was very lucky to be able to play here and live in the community here, and you know, I played on some amazing teams and met a lot of great people here, and I really enjoy my time. You know, I've said in the past, I in a way grew up here. You know, I came here when I was 21 years old, and I was here for a long time. So, just feel very fortunate to have been a part of this organization and the community.
What stands out to you over that 6 year stretch?
Just the people, I think, in the organization and in the community. I mean, that was always that's probably the piece I'll miss the most about, you know, moving on, is the relationships you make, you know, with people, with your teammates, trainers, you know, management, everybody that I got to know over the last 6 years and had a huge impact on my life as a player in person. You know, I'm going to miss those people, and even friends I have in the community. I played here for 6 years. I met a lot of people away from hockey too that I'm going to miss seeing. And but you know, it's that's something I'll definitely you know, remember most.
How great it's been to have Jack here to kind of ease you in.
Jack's been great. You know, I've known Jack for a really long time. We kind of grew up together when we were younger and played hockey together at the national program. So it's great having him here and kind of settling me in and introducing me to everybody. And you know, I've been here about a week now, and I already feel a lot more comfortable and a part of the team. So Jack's been huge in that.
What stands out to you most about this new team over the last week?
Yeah, I think it's there's a lot of things. You know, I think they got obviously a winning culture here from winning the Stanley Cup last year, and you got 20 guys in that room that won last year that kept pretty much the same team together. So there's a standard there that I recognized right away when I came in, and it's all about winning and getting all the way. And you know, for me coming in as an outsider, it's exciting, and it's a good opportunity just to come and try to do what I can best to help them, you know, return to their goal.
How hard was it wrestling with the decision of whether Calgary long term or moving on as the year was going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult. You know, I touched on it in the past. You know, I'm trying to, you know, just move on now and just kind of focus on Vegas and winning here. But of course, anytime you're with an organization for that long, it's a difficult decision just because of the people you're around and you care about them. So it wasn't easy, but you know, just being here in Vegas now, you know, I'm really excited about the future and playing on the team here.
How would you describe playing with Alex Pietrangelo?
Oh, it's been great. Obviously, Alex is a veteran player who is one of the best defensemen in the game, in my opinion, and you know, obviously he's won 2 Stanley Cups. I mean, he wins everywhere he goes, and he just makes the game real easy back there. He's very vocal and makes a lot of just great plays. So he's been awesome to play with, and he's a great person too.
You were here when a lot of guys came back over the last couple of years. It seems like there are cheers during sort of the thank you video and then boos the rest of the time. Is that sort of what you're expecting?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like I'm not even trying to think about that too much. Just trying to focus on my play. Can't be worried about like the distractions during the game and stuff like that. Just got to go out and execute and perform. And whatever does happen, I know I had a great time in Calgary, and I love my time here. And like I said, the people that I met in the community and in the organization are the people that matter most to me, and that's really what I care about.
You know what, just the quick turnaround as well, the fact that it's been about a week since the trade, now you're here again. Do you feel like you're getting it over with and that's probably best for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously a pretty unique situation just being at, you know, going through a trade and being here, you know, so quickly, but it's fine. I mean, it's exciting just to be back here. It's a little weird walking around yesterday, you know, being on a new team and just going to the same restaurants and stuff like that, but no, it's exciting. It's, I think more importantly, it's a huge game for us. You know, we gotta, you know, try to build off the last couple of wins here and just keep moving forward. And obviously, they're trying to get a win too, so we know it's gonna be a tough game tonight.
Jack was saying that last couple of the credit card roulette games here early on. Mm-hmm. Like, how's the off ice transition been and that whole experience?
Yeah, they're happy taking me out to dinner. They're I'm paying for all of it and losing all the credit card games. So it's no, but it's been good. It's nice getting on the road too. It's, you get to spend more time with the guys and kind of hang out with them and learn about their personal lives and their families and connect with them a little bit more. So yeah, it's been great, and grabbed dinner with a few of the guys last night too. So it's been a really smooth transition so far.
There's Vegas Golden Knights defenseman Noah Hanifin ahead of his return to Calgary on Thursday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Some of our texts at 960-960, where the fan feedback line is open to you on this Thursday. This text says, he gave Calgary the finger, basically. Why wouldn't we boo him tonight?
Did he really do that? Would you take it as that?
I don't know.
I take giving the finger as like talking trash along the way. But then again, maybe that's a lot more excessive. I mean,
I don't know that he gave you the finger, but he didn't do you any favors on the way out either.
Yeah, that's fair. But like, that's, he wasn't going to stay, right? And that's his choice.
No, 100%. Yep. This one says, I do know Hannafin. I just don't respect how he conducted his business or allowed his representatives to represent his intentions. Andy in Lethbridge says, 100% he's getting booed. Personally, if I was in the Saddle Dome tonight, I'd be booing more for the collection of American players leaving than just what Noah Hannafin did to us. I almost can't blame him, but we need a philosophical change in drafting, probably a template for all Canadian teams going forward. The American
I hope they saw who the Flames signed today.
Yes.
3-year entry level contract.
Hunter Brustevich signs his 3 years and is a American born defenseman. Now locked into the Flames. Yeah, I don't know if I. That's a longer conversation.
It's a longer conversation to have, and I don't think that's necessarily fair. Not every American-born player thinks, okay, it's Calgary, whatever, I just want to go.
No, and I mean, quickly, as else. This has been in my head for a couple of weeks since we've had this, JT Miller is an American, signed a big-term extension in Vancouver. Austin Matthews might be this generation's best goal scorer. He's an American playing in Toronto.
The Flames general manager is American. He spent the bulk of his career in this market and
captain,
likes this market.
Captain of the Ottawa Senators is an American.
Like, there are guys who play in America, who are from America, who play in Canada and like playing there. All because of what? A few guys? All of a sudden, no Americans want to play here? I think that's ridiculous.
Look at that Olympic team that they're going to throw out. I don't think that's a prospect pool you want to pull yourself out of anytime soon.
Come on. Anyway, that's just how I feel about that. It's just, I just think that's just useless to split hairs over that. Like, it's just whatever.
This says, I'll say this. I see Noah as the type of person who can be more straightforward and less political about his re-signing than, say, Johnny or Matthew. In fact, it is this honesty that has him in trouble with this market. He was crystal clear with manager Connie what his intentions are. And now that's being held against him, in my opinion.
Yeah. We've heard the reports about how it seemed like it was going to be close, and then it ended up not being close, and it felt as if maybe both sides looked at this and said, nah, maybe this wasn't right. And now it's at the result that it's at.
The guy played on a very team-friendly deal for the last couple of years. I don't blame him for anything. Appreciate all he brought day in, day out. Wishing nothing but the best for him going forward. Shoop says, I have no problem with booing. You didn't want to stay with us. However, there's nothing wrong with also saying thanks with a nice round of applause during his return video.
Fine.
He basically grew up here in Cal and played hard every night for almost 6 seasons.
Yeah. I'm not saying like, man, everyone here should be praising and kissing Noah Hannafin's feet. Like, you have every right to boo. And I don't think there's a problem with that. But like, to get to a whole point where your hatred of the situation stems on how a few players of a certain country treated their situations, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, going back to it, he was a great Flame. He played close to 80 games every year here.
Yeah.
It was a solid top four option, really helped what could have been a tough trade, you know, giving up Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland, him and Elias Lindholm really blossomed in their time here in Calgary. And, 6 seasons, almost 6 seasons, isn't anything to
nothing to sneeze at.
To sneeze at, right? He was a great player, and I think is one that we're starting to see is going to be missed on and off the ice.
Yeah.
This has kind of stemmed into two conversations on the text line, so I'll just read this quickly from Sean and Big Mike. The NHL needs to neutralize the cap, so there's no tax advantage from team to team. Cap money should be a pre-tax figure, so every team can offer the same take-home money. And that's going off of where Mike says, hello, gents. I don't think the American thing is a thing. I do think the NHL could address the tax situation so it's less of a problem. That's what's bringing Americans back to the States.
Yeah, man. Let Gary Bettman go into all these different legislative courts for each state and be like, I want these tax things regulated. Maybe that's not what they mean, but you get it. It's not going to happen, guys.
It's tough.
The salary cap itself has to be changed. I'm not a fan of the salary cap. I'd much rather some kind of luxury tax system or you can get rid of it. I don't care. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion in itself.
He's Julian McKenzie, my co-host this afternoon, and obviously covers the Flames for The Athletic. Does a great job there as well. We're getting you set for a Flames game day here on Sportsnet 960. So yes, Noah Hanifin makes his return. We mentioned it quickly early. If you missed it, Dustin Wolf gets the start in goal after a scoreless third period against the Colorado Avalanche. I wonder on the Wolf side of things, how much it is A, making sure he gets playing time on this call-up, regardless of how long Markstrom's out, and B, the last two outings, and I'm not putting it all on him, but the last two outings for Dan Vladar also haven't been the best. I can't say I'm stunned they're going to Wolf tonight.
I'm not stunned with that either, and I think a good part of that is the fact that he needs that experience. And I know there are going to be fans chiming in on the text line saying that he should be playing a whole bunch of games down the line just to see what they have. There's a point to that. But more importantly for Dustin Wolf and his development, any opportunity he gets to be around that team, whether even if it's just in shooting drills at practice where he's taking shots from NHL opposition, like he needs that. He needs those reps in order to help with his development. And there's an opportunity for him. We don't know when Jacob Markstrom exactly comes back. You have to think it's maybe a bit of a minor thing, but who knows what it is. But for Dustin, for him to get a start today, continue to be with the team as long as they can keep him around, that helps him going forward when eventually it comes time for him to play more regular NHL minutes, whether in a tandem role or when he eventually ascends to a starter role, if that comes in his future. He needs this right now. I think that considering where the team is at right now, and yeah, Dan Vladar's performance helps with that too in a weird roundabout way, Dustin Wolf needs this type of game. He needs to be in the lineup. It's also not going to be the first time he plays against Vegas this season.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of the, why Vegas? Why not wait until Saturday or Monday when you have Washington or Montreal coming to town? And to be honest, I love the challenge. I think Dustin Wolf loves the challenge.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, if Dustin Wolf is what the Flames hope he's going to be, you have to play the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with playing in that situation.
You have to beat the Vegas Golden Knights. If you're a starter in the NHL, you play against the best teams, against the best shooters, regardless. And I think that, it goes back to if this is who you think this guy is, and he's given us no reason to believe that he's not. I know some people will take a small NHL sample size and throw that back at me, but I'm not.
I mean, we've discussed it before. That sample size is not really enough to judge him on.
Very inconsistent.
I
want to see him. If you are this highly rated prospect that's to be the future starter of this team, I want to see him against the best.
And
that's where I want to judge him the most, to be honest.
Yeah, and I can imagine that team performance may play a role in how he gets judged, but if he's still able to, you know, fend off some of that pressure, make some good saves, that goes a long way in terms of how he's judged and the development curve for him. Like, I see the logic in playing him. I understand the other side of waiting until Saturday for him to play against the Canadiens. I think it's like a weird like afternoon start. It's not 7 o'clock start.
It's a 5.
It's a 5 o'clock start. It's kind of weird. But like Thursday night, Vegas, that's what being in the NHL is like. He has to get those reps at some point. Why not now?
Interested to see Nikita Hochuk in a full pairing. Tough for him on Tuesday, man. I felt for the kid. Had barely a morning skate with the group and wasn't anticipating playing Tuesday. And then all of a sudden, Markstrom's down, Mange is down. Kuzmenko takes warm-up, but then doesn't play.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the coach is going, we're going 11-7. We haven't even set you up on a pairing with anybody yet. And welcome to our lineup. Welcome to our system, Nikita Hochuk. And I thought there were some growing moments, and I thought the coach did their best to shelter him. But this is a guy that's played 40-plus games with the Sharks this season at the NHL level, going to be paired up with Braden Pahal tonight. I'm curious to see more of – I really don't want to take much from Tuesday from Nikita. Tonight will be, I think, a much better indication of what the Flames got back in that trade from San Jose on trade deadline day.
Curious about those two being paired together because they're both physical defensemen. I think back to when Conroy was saying, you know, hey, you should go look up
his YouTube clips
for Nikita. And I'm curious to see how that trends. But yeah, you bring up a good point as well with that game earlier in the week. I mean, going 11-7 with three different players throughout the day falling out of the lineup for various reasons. Remember, Jacob Markstrom ends up being day-to-day. Andrew Mangiapane can't go. And then Kuzmenko can't go. They were in tough. The fact that they led after 20 minutes against Colorado was impressive enough, even if it was just Dan Vladar just holding the fort. But then the bottom falls out and Colorado wins that game. But yeah, you have to hope for the Flames that they don't have a similar situation tonight.
So Connor Zary remains on IR. We're not expecting him to play tonight with the D pairings the way they are. It looks like Joel Hanley will sit his first game since being claimed by the Flames off of waivers from the Dallas
Stars.
This
team misses Zary, man.
They do, absolutely. And, you know, it's been kind of weird. Even going back to Tuesday when we asked, Tuesday and Wednesday, asking Ryan about it. Yeah, he's skating day to day. It feels inevitable. It's like, that's kind of kept going for something we thought was really minor and wasn't even going to hold him out a game or two. And, hey, young player, you want to be careful with him. But I think you're right. I think they miss a lot of what Connor Zary's brought. So it'll be another game Thursday. Without Connor Zary, the Flames taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's take a look at the Vegas Golden Knights. When we come back, our pal Ken Belke from Sinbin Vegas is going to join us. Just another year, doesn't matter, Stanley Cup champions or not, that they go all in trying to win. This year, it's Anthony Mantha, Noah Hanifin, and Tomas Hertl. We'll take a look at the opposition when we come back to Sportsnet today with Logan and Julian here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Logan Gordon, Julian McKenzie along with you on this Thursday edition of Sportsnet Today. It's a Flames game day. Flames and the Vegas Golden Knights. The return of Noah Hanifin to Calgary. 6 o'clock Flames warm up with Pat Steinberg. 7 o'clock puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson right here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Keeping on this hour with a look at the opposition. The Pacific Division rivals for the Calgary Flames, the Vegas Golden Knights, looking poised to make another deep playoff run and defend their Stanley Cup title. Busy around the trade deadline. What's new? Some massive additions for this team, and we'll see how some of those new additions are fitting in and what the rest of the season looks like for this group as we go down the Alice Peach and Sports Bar guest hotline this afternoon, welcoming our pal Ken Belke from Sin Bin Vegas. Ken, thanks for the time as always, man. How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to keep up with everything that the Vegas Golden Knights are doing this time of year, but I guess that's nothing new for you guys.
Yeah, me too. Every time we get to this point, and at least this year the trades went through.
Yes, exactly.
A couple years ago, we had one that got turned around, so we had three this year, and they're all still here. It's great.
I jest when I say this, but I mean, like, are you guys surprised? Was there a sense of surprise that the group was still this aggressive, knowing that they had won a Stanley Cup last year? Like, was there any doubt in your mind that it was going to be the same old from the hockey management group in Vegas?
Yeah, I expected them to go pretty big. I probably wouldn't have told you it would have been two forwards and a defenseman. I would have maybe guessed two forwards or just one of each. And we kind of got to the point recently where it's like, yeah, maybe they need a defenseman. I didn't think it would be that big, but I did actually expect them to go with at least one guy that had extended terms. So guessing who that's going to be is nearly impossible because you don't know that which guy with 6 years left in their contract is going to be available. So the Hertl one, while the name surprised me, the situation really didn't.
Let's talk about Noah Hanifin, the guy in Calgary that we're focused in on mostly after, you know, five-plus good seasons here in Calgary. He's off to Vegas in this trade, and he got to Vegas quick, was right in that lineup for a couple games now. What have you made early on of Noah Hanifin and his addition to the blue line, Ken?
I still think he's trying to fit in, and they're still kind of trying to figure out exactly how it's going to work and where everybody needs to be. Obviously, the defense is not where it wanted to be or where it needs to be for him to go back to back. So he's kind of trying to fit in, and they're not playing at their best. But you are starting to see those steps as we go along where you're seeing him skate the puck out. You're seeing that quick first pass, that extra pass up the middle that's real good. Like, he's starting to do the things that we know of Noah Hanifin. And then the last game was where I thought we saw the most offensive pop out of him, where he's kind of running the show in the offensive zone, where we don't usually see that from Golden Knights defensemen. So we'll see if that continues. I would imagine he's looking pretty much to try and get that first goal with the Golden Knights. Tonight would be a good night to do that, I would think, in his mind.
I was chopping it up with Dan Duvo, does a radio play-by-play for Vegas, and I still can't get this out of my head that, even including Hanifin, this team has used like 13 different defensemen. What can you say about the depth at the back end that this team has? You can look at the forwards and be in awe of what they're able to put together with guys like Jack Eichel, but to me, at least, if I'm playing against them, it's the defense that scares me.
Yeah, I think they've done a pretty good job of finding, like, replacement defensemen, the Braden Pahals and Daniil Miramanov, guys you guys know now. And then, there's the Nick Hague, Zach Whitecloud, those types of guys. The problem is that, yes, they have been able to kind of keep it afloat to this point, but, man, they have not been good defensively this year. So when you look at last year, like, that's why they won the Stanley Cup. I know they scored a bunch of goals along the way, but the real reason they won was they just took away the offensive weapons from every single one of the four teams they played, and they did it down the stretch to a whole bunch of teams down the stretch last year. They were just excellent in front of their own goal in the neutral zone, not allowing entries, all of it. This year really has not been that. So while, yes, the depth has helped them keep them afloat, they have got to find the correct mix if they want to get going here again. Like, they're not playing great hockey at the moment. And despite all the additions and all the excitement around the trade deadline, like, if it weren't for a 6-on-5 goal that they saved that last game and then winning in overtime, we're looking at, I think it would have been 8 losses and 11 had that not gone in. Now it's one less, but they got to play a lot better than they have been playing.
What's been that key for why this team hasn't looked as good recently? You mentioned that result against Seattle where they're able to come back and dial it back and win, but you're right. Like, this team has fallen into a wild card position. This is a team that had an amazing start to the year with all those wins to start off the year, and now they find themselves in a wild card spot. Why has it turned? What is it? Injuries? Like, what's the explanation for why this team has kind of looked a little shaky as of late?
I mean, that's the easiest argument. It's like, well, a lot of guys have been out. Mark Stone's been out. Jack Eichel's been out. Shea Theodore's out for a long time. Like, that's the easy answer. To me, though, it's more of the structure and how they're trying to get back into the neutral zone. Like, the way that they're playing when they're at their best, it is really difficult to get consistent, easy entry into the zone. And the way that they defend, when you actually do get entry and do get the puck down there, they sit in this shell in front of the goal. It's a box and one where there's not a ton of pressure on the outside. So you can actually have extended zone time. That kills their offense, and they know that. So the way to counteract that is to make it very difficult to get through the neutral zone. Recently, that has not been the case. And that then snowballs into transition chances against and then longer time in their zone. And when that's the case, you do end up having breakdowns and you need your goalies to bail them out. And as much as people think of the Golden Knights goalies at different times, when the Golden Knights defense is not on top of their game in front of them, the goalies are not that great. They're average, maybe a little bit better than average. That's what they've been getting. And so that's why they have not been able to defend at the same level. And that's why a lot of their offense has been, you know, kind of taken away because they don't have the puck as much.
Let's talk about one of the other additions to this team. Anthony Mantha comes over from the Washington Capitals, I believe pointless in 3 games so far. What do you make of the fit there and how he's going to play into this roster down the stretch?
I know that term is technically accurate, but doesn't it just seem so harsh when you call somebody pointless?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, it does. It did feel like an unnecessary shot. Right. Yeah,
like I'm not. And actually, what's sad is that actually he's closer to the mean pointless than just the literal pointless. Oh. He's not. He hasn't been very good. Like, he's been very unnoticeable. Couple times in deep, but the big issue with him, and it's already cropping up, like, it wasn't there that first game because, well, that's the game you don't have this problem. But the problem that he has had has been his back checking just isn't good, and he just does not look Like, he's engaged. And the issue I was just talking about, which is they've struggled getting enough bodies in the neutral zone to make it difficult, he makes that problem even worse because he does not do very much of that. He has to be good offensively. He's been all right on the power play. We've seen a little bit there. 5-on-5, like, the line that he's currently playing on, which is Stevenson and Howden, like, he's supposed to be Mark Stone in that. Anthony Mantha's not Mark
Stone.
He's
not Mark Stone.
He's better than pointless when it comes to that, but he's not, right? Like, he's not Mark Stone. So I'm very skeptical of the player that they got in that. Like, 20 goals, yes, but 22% shooting percentage, that's not going to continue. So we'll see. He's got to be a lot better, and I don't know that they're going to get much better.
Where does Tomas Hertl fit into this lineup when he gets in, Ken?
Man, I wish I had the answer to that because I've gone through so many different ways that it could possibly work. Like, there's an argument to not put him at center.
Yeah.
Because that would leave Chandler Stevenson at center. And then you look at a lineup where Tomas Hertl's not even one of your four centers. It's like, damn, that's really good. So I think in the end, I think he will play center. And the reason I lean that way is because of the faceoff percentage. Like, Bruce Cassidy loves a good faceoff win. And he loves to be able to have situations where he can put out the proper line on the proper side. Like, he's unbelievable at this, where he knows which center to play in which situation. And the faceoff percentages go up for all these different guys. I think he will play center. I think he may end up playing center on a line with Stevenson, which allows them to kind of get the best of both worlds there and let Stevenson fill in defensively when they need it. And then who would be the winger? I guess it would probably be Stone if they're healthy. If not, would it still be Mantha? I guess that would make sense. Stevenson, Hertl, and Mantha, and then Stone if he's available.
How do you feel about this team's goaltending? We know how Aiden Hill came out of nowhere last postseason, emerges as the goaltender that brings the Golden Knights to the Stanley Cup final, and then they win. I thought he could have gotten himself some Conn Smythe Trophy votes. Ultimately, it goes to Jonathan Marchessault. But now Aiden Hill getting to be the guy for the length of a full season. You still have Logan Thompson over there. What have you made of the team's goaltending, and is it going to be enough for another playoff run?
So, you know, sometimes you get a player where, like, you put him on a good forward line and the guy just lights it up, and yeah, then you put him on an okay forward line and, like, he's kind of pointless. All right, now I'm just being mean. But, you know, sometimes he's just okay, right? Like, yeah, that's how I feel about the Golden Knights goalies. I feel like if they play great defense in front of them, these guys are going to be awesome. Like, they're going to do exactly what you need. They are going to be able to bail you out in those rare instances where there is a little bit of a breakdown. But if you're playing really good in front of them for the majority of the game, you're going to walk away saying, well, that's an easy 940 save game. Where if they're not playing good defense in front of them, they're going to struggle to get to 900 because these aren't the elite of the elite goalies. These are not guys who are like the top class. If you just pick on like who do I want in an individual game? So I think they've gotten what they should have expected out of them. When they're good in front of them, they're going to do the job. And when they're not, they're not. So I think when the playoffs roll around, goalie's going to end up being a big point of contention, because if they get knocked out early or even at any point, it's going to be because they're giving up a bunch of goals. Mm-hmm. And inevitably people are going to look at the goalies. I'm not. I'm going to look at the team defense in front of them.
Okay. I want to ask about the now former Golden Knight defenseman turned Flame, Daniil Miromanov. You know, Braden Pahal's been here for a couple games. Flames fans are getting adjusted to what he's like. I think there's still a little bit more to discover when it comes to Daniil Miromanov. From his time in Vegas, what do you remember seeing from him? What were your impressions of his talent and his skill set?
Yeah, I like a lot of what he can do. I think he's really comfortable with the puck on his stick in the offensive zone, which is really nice to see, especially when you can get some extended zone time. He's pretty solid on the power play. I really like his mindset on the power play is good. He does not want the puck on his stick, but he's real comfortable with it, if that makes sense. Like, he wants to move it quickly. He's going to make the right play most of the time. He's real good. Defensively, he's a good skater. He gets back. He's good at making that first pass, and he gets there first. I just think at different times, there's more to be learned. He needs a little bit more experience of what to do in certain situations, especially tricky situations, transition chances. Every once in a while, he ends up going the wrong way or trying to kill the playoff a little bit early. But I think there's a lot there. Like, I think there's a legitimate full-time NHL defenseman there. And I think if things go really well, I could see him being like a second pair guy that's an offensive leaning type of player, and he's good. And then the other thing is the guy's awesome. Like, if you get a chance to talk to him or interview him, take it every single time. He's awesome. He's so much fun to talk to, and he's really just a cool guy.
I was going to follow up and ask that next, because it seems as if whenever we hear him talk, he comes across as this confident individual. There was one quote going around where I believe he spoke to someone from the team's media staff, and he was saying that if he gets himself going, you could see him in the discussion among some of the best defensemen in the league. I don't know if we could get there with that, but that just shows how confident of a man this guy is.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example. So when the Golden Knights very first got him, he was just some undrafted free agent that they signed, and no one had really heard about him. And I looked through all of his stats and watched some of the highlights and all this, and somebody asked me a question: where do you see him fitting in on the Golden Knights next year? And at the time, they were like 8 defensemen deep, 9. And I'm like, he doesn't. He's going to play in the AHL. And I get a reply from Daniil Miromanov that says, "We'll see." And I'm like, oh, God, this guy hates me already. And then, like, you know, now I love the guy. Yeah. I talked to him a number of times. I actually approached him about it. Like, do you remember tweeting me and chirping back? He's like, yeah,
wait,
it was great.
Tweeted this at you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he publicly. And yeah, he's awesome. And, like, I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, I was just messing with you. I hope I get to play in the NHL. He goes, I think I'm good enough to play in the NHL. The guy's awesome. Like, he's cool to talk to. He's, like, down to earth. He's very confident. You're right. But, yeah, he's great. I'll have to send you the tweet.
Please do.
Yes, please do. That's hilarious.
That's incredible.
You know what? And just talking to him a few times since we have, I'm not even stunned that he did that. You talk to him a couple of times, like, yeah, I can totally see him doing something like that.
And I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him at all. At first, I was like, ooh. I think
bad start.
I just found the tweet.
Awful. And I'm like, no way. This guy can't make the NHL. I'm going to look like a complete jacket.
Oh, man.
And he did.
I just found the tweet. It's hilarious.
That's so good.
Man, just crazy. Anyway, no, that's cool. But yeah, he does come across as that. And yeah, I'm glad you're able to speak to that, because there are still so many Flames fans who really want to know more about the guy and what he could provide on this team. And like, I look at that trade and I'm still a bit surprised that the Flames were not able to get a prospect out of that deal for Noah Hanifin. They do get Miromanov, who could be a mainstay on that back end. But if you're Vegas and you make all these trades, and I mean, fine, you have to say goodbye to David Edstrom, but you don't have to say goodbye to Brandon Brisson or any of the other prospects in your system. I can imagine if you're a Golden Knights fan, you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll kind of push back on that a little bit.
Sure.
In that there aren't any prospects in the system.
That too, because right? You're all about winning.
Okay, you want Brendan Brisson, but like, Brendan Brisson's played some games, and Brendan Brisson, there's not a ton going on there. Like, yeah, there's a good shot. There's some offensive ability, but for the most part, Bruce Cassidy's trying to get him out of the lineup every time he can. So it's like, well, we didn't give away that guy. Like, okay. I mean, Edstrom, I thought, was the one that, and I remember looking down the prospect pool thinking, well, if I think there's one possible guy that can play in the top 6 or the top 4, it's David Edstrom. He's the only one that ended up going. So they don't have their 2025 first round pick. They don't have their 2026 first round pick. They don't have their 2023 or 22, or 21, 20 is still there, 19's gone, 18's gone, all 3 17s are gone. It's not surprising that there's no prospect pool there, but like, they traded a bunch of picks. They continued to trade picks. To me, it's like their currency. They have a certain amount of currency, and they used up a lot of that currency at this deadline, and I just don't think the prospects were nearly as valuable as the other picks. I am a little surprised they still have the 2024 pick.
Me too.
But I'm convinced that's draft is at the Vegas Sphere related, that it's like, no, that pick can't go. Sorry, we don't have a choice. We have to make that pick because it's in our backyard.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for that to be the case. Last one from me before I let you go here. Obviously, Vegas will worry about this in the offseason and the playoffs come first, but I'm just curious, with Tomas Hertl coming in on that long-term contract, and I know it's at a much more palatable $6.75 million, is there a name that jumps to mind as the, you know, other end of the spectrum, as like who's going to have to leave to make that money work for next year that comes to mind, Ken? Like, have you guys started to kind of sift through that a bit?
Yeah, I think the obvious one straight off the top is Alec Martinez is going to have a hard time finding a spot in the lineup or on the roster at all next year. I don't think that was necessarily Hertl related. I think the Hertl one probably kills off having both Stevenson and Marchessault. Or the other is probably going to have to go, unless there is an out clause here, which is every single summer for the past like five, they tend to find one forward and just say, okay, you're out of here. We'll take nothing in return. I guess they could do that again. Like, maybe that's a Barbashev if they don't think he's playing up to the ability of what they signed him. I'd be surprised by that, but that's $5 million they could potentially find. You know, there are other ways to look at some of these other guys. But if you're just looking at the free agents, I think the argument would be it's probably Marchessault that ends up being the odd man out, which is wild considering how good he's been.
Ken, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate the insights into everything. It's going to be a fun stretch drive, as always, in Vegas. Enjoy the game tonight, man. You know we'll check in with you sometime soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Don't call me pointless when I hang up, though.
Promise I won't. There you go. Ken Belge joining us from Sin Bin Vegas. One of the best out there covering the Vegas Golden Knights.
I can't believe that tweet, man.
That's so funny.
Hilarious.
That's so funny.
But again, just the fact that Miromanov has come in, he has this confidence about him. I mean, I think you kind of need it if you want to make sure that you come out a winner in this deal if you're the Flames. Maybe if, depending on some things that he might say, if he's feeling, you know, hey, I could be among the best, maybe you don't like that as much. But to be confident, to assert yourself, to already have a goal on the power play, you like that if you're Craig Conroy and the Flames. And if you're trying to figure out this foundation going forward, Miromanov certainly is playing into that.
Lots between these two teams now. Miromanov, Braden Pahal getting to play their old team. Noah Hanifin's return to Calgary. All of it on a Flames game day here on Sportsnet 960. We'll have Flames warm up at 6 with Steinberg, 7 o'clock puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. Going to kick off hour two when we come back. Checking in with our pal Adnan Virk on a Thursday. He's been out on assignment for MLB Network, traveling around spring training, bumping shoulders with the elite of the elite in the MLB. We'll see what stories Virk has from the last couple weeks covering spring training. Also, having a chance to ask him about Joey Votto and his chances of making the Toronto Blue Jays. So lots to catch up with Virk. We'll also continue to get you set for a Flames game day. Logan Gordon, Julian McKenzie along with you. This is Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.